I'm sorry we don't have the words to this because I guess our people are not with us today, which makes it difficult. But the song that Mark has chosen is, "Say to those who are fearful hearted, do not be afraid." It's a difficult song, so maybe we can just listen. And if you know it, feel free to sing along.
Say to those who are fearful hearted, do not be afraid.
The Lord your God is strong with his loving arms. When you call on his name, he will come and save. He will come and save. Your God is strong.
Another song is Therefore the Redeemed of the Lord Shall Return. It's also in Isaiah 51 verse 11.
Everlasting joy shall be.
Take a pause here while I move. Amen. Where is it here? Here. Amen. You know, I'm before I get into the word here, we're just considering again the circumstances in which we are living today. And, you know, you feel free to share if you have anything here too. But I see, you know, we're very aware of the war that's going on in Ukraine and how Russia is just relentlessly attacking, apparently not getting as much success as they'd like. As Putin would like to have. I think he thought it was going to be a piece of cake going in there. We see other nations of the world rising up here to support Ukraine, sending weapons, US sending weapons. I think it's weapons that they have already in Europe somewhere that are being sent over there. But I also see, we're just keeping the current events here, that Russia has tested or demonstrated, shall I say, another missile, ICBM, that they claim is the most powerful that they've had, that cannot be shot down with any of our Patriot defense missiles. You know, we don't know when this great and terrible day of the Lord is going to start. We know that things are very near. And I'm so very aware that God is holding all this back. He's got these four angels at the four corners, the four winds, just holding this all back. And all God has to do is release this. And this man, Putin, could just very well decide that he's going to throw a couple of nukes out there. I don't know how it's going to begin. But I tell you what, this new, this total world dominion, new world order thing, it's going to start with some kind of a crisis. And that would certainly be a crisis sufficient to set this whole thing off. So why do I say this? Not to cause fear, but so that we will surely be ready, because if we are ready, if we are in the place that God wants us to be, amen, brethren, we're going to be able to endure. We're going to be able to go through. We're going to be able to be given a place of refuge in him. Hallelujah.
feel free to share if you have anything to add here as we go along, any one of you. But I want to go to, if you don't have, here, I'll give you a minute to do so if you wish. If not, let's go to Isaiah 35. Remember, we're talking about new heavens and a new earth here in the long range of things. And what we want to look at today is a highway. God has a way. God has a way of holiness. God has a way that is going to be found. And there will be no way of unrighteousness. There's only going to be the way of righteousness. But look at what Isaiah is saying to us here in the 35th chapter. 35, start in verse 4. Well, I'll start in verse 3. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Now, remember, we're talking not just the natural body of strength and the natural knees and the natural hands. We're talking about our spiritual being as well here, brethren. We have to be, you know, people want to remain natural people. I don't know why. Because it requires some kind of a effort. It requires some kind of an energy to rise above the natural level and to come into a spiritual realm. You know, even the unbelieving scientists of the world speculate that there's another universe within a universe. They don't really understand, I believe, what they're talking about. Because there's a spiritual universe, and we can be a part of that. That the spiritual man is in us, brethren. God breathed into man the spirit of life. We are different from any animal. We're different from the chickens, the cows, the dogs, the cats, whatever. We are different because we have the spirit of life in us. So listen to what the word is saying. Say to them that are a fearful heart, be strong. But this is an interesting word, be strong. I think it means to gird up, to strap on, put on something, put on some strength, put on something that you don't have in your natural being. Be strong, amen. Let me say, fear not. God did not give us the spirit of fear. Amen? Where do you believe the spirit of fear came from? Why are we fearful? Amen? Where did it come from? It didn't come from God. It says, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but how does it go? But of love. How does it go, Rita? And strength and a sound mind? Love and power and a strong mind. A sound mind, yeah. So soundness of mind comes from God. If we have a shaken mind, oh my goodness, I remember what was this? Oh, I'm trying to remember something I heard a long time ago. I'll forget it. Anyway, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. Even God with recompense. Now, vengeance and recompense are two different things. Do you understand the difference? Vengeance is he's coming to pay back the perpetrators of evil. He's coming to pay back the unrighteous, those who have done wrong to you, those who have done wrong to just those who have hurt you. He's coming with vengeance against. Think of Cain and Abel. What was Cain? What was Abel crying for? Jesus said, "The blood of your brother Abel is crying to me from the ground." What was the blood of Abel crying for? He was crying for vengeance, I believe. He said, "Lord, I've been robbed of my time. My brother took my days away from me. But then it says that the blood of Jesus speaketh better things than the blood of Abel. So not only is it vengeance to bring, but it's also to bring recompense. And recompense is not directed so much against the evil, the workers of darkness, but recompense is come is to bring a reward, to bring restitution, shall we say, to those who have been wronged, to those who have been hurt by the wickedness and the unrighteousness of this world. So it says, your God, even your God will come, even God with recompense, and he will come to save you. Now, verse 5, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Let's look at this in the spiritual sense. Rita was talking about the day that we were in Bratislava, Slovakia, walking across the street with Oliver and I think his couple of his sisters and maybe another one or two from that little fellowship down there. And we were singing this song, and it would have been such a delight to us to see that man's eyes opened, you know, just to be in that environment. Brethren, I believe, first of all, in the natural realm, we're going to be in that environment. We're going to see miracles, brethren. We really are. We've heard this prophetic word so often. The day is going to come. You know, Jesus said, the works that I do, ye shall do and more. Now, what does it mean you shall do more? Even more than he did. Well, we can't do greater miracles than he did. But with the word of the Lord, with the power of the Lord spread out in many, many people across the world, these miracles are going to be multiplied in many locations. But now let's look at the spiritual side of this thing, because that's the side I want to really focus on. The ears of the deaf opened, the eyes of the blind opened, the ears of the deaf unstopped. How many times have you, let's go to your own past. How many times have you heard the word of God in your past and you said to yourself, I don't know, I just can't see it. I want to get it, I want to understand, but I'm just not getting it. How many times have you talked to someone and you tried to explain to them the kingdom of God, and you became aware they just weren't getting it? They couldn't see, their eyes couldn't see. And you might as well just stop and say, God, I can't do it. You're going to have to open this man's eyes. You're going to have to open this man's ears, because the word that I have, I don't have the power to get through to this man or this woman, whoever it be. All right. So then shall the lame man leap. Let me see. How far are we going in this? Let me come down to verse, I want to come down to verse 8 here, but so I'll just read on down through. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, which is a deer, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing, for in the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert, and the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water, in the habitation of dragons, where each lay shall be grass and reeds and rushes. Now, we're talking about a very dry, dry, parched land. If you were listening to Rita's testimony this morning, she was saying, and as many of us say at many times, boy, I feel dry today. I feel like a desert. I feel like a hot, parched sand. Lord, just bring some refreshing, bring some water, bring something cool to my soul. And you see, brethren, I believe we have to go through this dry time, because when the Spirit of the Lord breaks out upon us in that day, there's coming a day, brethren, there's coming a day when the world will be in great darkness. But the Spirit of God, for those who are ready, for the sons of God, for the man-child company, whatever term you want to give it, there's coming a day when God is going to break out upon his own with great light and great life and great rejoicing and joy and power and strength. Amen. I want to be part of that company, brethren. Amen. Because there has to be a contrast. If it remained the same, if we always had that power and always had that strength and always had that light and life in us, we would say, well, nothing different has happened. But there has to be something different, something that's going to, as the world goes into a great period of darkness, there will be a great light come upon the people of God. So he's saying here, and in verse 8, and a highway shall be there. Now, this is the part I like. A highway shall be there. What do you mean, Brother Mark? Are we going to go building interstates and get construction equipment out and start pushing dirt and concrete and blacktop and this type of thing? No, this is not what he's talking about. He's talking about a way of life. A highway is a way that we walk, our walk in God. It says a highway shall be there and a way. So we've got two terms here. A highway is a broad, a broad thoroughfare. And a way is a path, a trodden path. In other words, it's the way you walk every day. It's your lifestyle, the customs that you follow, the routines that you follow, the way you conduct your life day by day, what you do in the morning, what you do in the at noon, what you do in the evening, when you go to bed, you know, your whole lifestyle, the way you deal with people, it's your way. But it says here that there's also going to be a highway, which is a broad way. Okay, so your way is going to become a highway that others are going to walk in. God's kingdom is going to be a highway. Your little walks, your little paths are going to be breaking out into a great path, a great highway. And it's going to take over the world, brethren. Amen. We're going to rule and reign with him. And we're going to do so how? In righteousness, by our walk. And it's going to multiply. And it's going to expand and carry out. So it says a highway will be there, and it shall be called the way of holiness. That's going to be the name of this highway. Now, listen to this. It says the unclean shall not pass over it. Amen. This world is going to be absent the unclean ways. I don't know how God is going to do it. All I can understand is that righteousness is going to break out and it's going to have the prominent spot. It's going to have the, what can I say? The preeminence. Yeah, Rita gave me the good word, preeminence. Amen. Unclean will not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring man, though fools, shall not enter therein. Amen. Now, the wayfaring man is a man who is a stranger. He's wandering about. He's looking. It says that the wayfaring man, though fools, shall not err therein. In other words, they're not going to go astray. There's going to be people who do not understand. There's going to be people who do not have the fullness of the life. There's going to be immature people. There's going to be people that are like children. But they will not be drawn away by the ways of Satan in this new kingdom that we're talking about. They may be fools in a sense, but they'll still be kept and protected. I'm thinking of these teenage girls that run away from home. They get caught in these ways of prostitution and drugs, and they come under dominion of powerful, unclean men that take advantage of them. I think what I'm hearing in the Word of God is this isn't going to happen anymore. You don't, people that raise their children, they're not going to be afraid of their sons and daughters being taken over by these unclean systems. Amen. Now it says, no lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast. What is the lion? What is the lion? Come on, help me out here. What is the lion? What is it? Rita says it's the rule of emotions, okay? But it's also, what does the Word of God say? That the devil goes about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Why will that lion not be there? Because, first of all, he's going to be bound up in hell for 1,000 years, and he won't be able to go out and lure people and tempt people and deceive people. His deception days have come to an end. Amen. So the lion or the ravenous beast, the lion comes to consume the souls of men. You know, the devil cannot get any life from God anymore. He's been put out of heaven. He's been put out from around the throne of God. He has no access to the life of God. And we get our life from God, and we get our life from the song and the praise and the worship that we give the throne of God. When we gather around his throne to praise him, he in turn gives us life and strength. So what'd you say, Rita? And so does the Word of God. Yes. Now the devil will not have access to us in that manner because we have overcome him. Amen. It says, and they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. So start starving Satan out on your life. Amen. Keep him away. Don't give in to him. Don't let your emotions, don't let him feed on that. You know, if you get angry and get upset and have a hissy fit, who's getting the benefit of that? Satan's getting the benefit of that. But you can begin to learn to control your soul. David said, I will say unto my soul, amen, return unto thy rest, O my soul. So no lion will be there, or ravenous beast shall go up thereupon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed of the Lord shall walk there. Now, verse 10, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return. Therefore, the redeemed of the Lord, the song that we sing, and come to Zion. What is Zion? Where is Zion? Amen. Zion is not a natural place, brethren. You know, there's a lot of people that read the Bible that in the land of Judah, Jerusalem. And, you know, we had a man come to one of our conferences one time. I believe his name was Art Katz. He was a Jewish man of Jewish background, Hebrew background. And he came into our midst and he said, you brethren don't have any right to sing that song unless you are actually singing of natural Israel, natural Jerusalem, natural Judah. He said, you don't have any right to sing that. In other words, he was saying, you can't be spiritual people. You have to only be natural people. Well, Brother Seth asked him, Brother Art, do you believe there's going to be two brides of Christ? A Jewish bride and a Gentile bride? Well, no, he said he didn't believe there was. So therefore, you're going to have to adjust your thinking, brethren. Christ is only going to have one bride. Amen. And he uses spiritual language in the Word of God. Brethren, we have to become spiritual people. This is God's plan for us, to raise us up above the natural realm and make us spiritual people. Amen. So come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Don't you want to come to the place when sorrow and sighing are no longer part of your life? We're going to have to come to that new highway, brethren. Let's go over to Brother Joel here. Amen. Joel chapter 3. We're going to talk about that highway here with Joel here for a minute. If I can find Joel. Let's see. Joel. Yes, it's here. Here we are. Joel, I got it. Chapter 3, Joel, and we'll go to verse 16. Joel, verse 16. Well, let's read verse 14 first, okay? Because I like this. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. How many of you believe that there are multitudes in that valley of decision? You know, I'm hearing some of the brethren say that the greatest revival that ever has come upon this world is going to come when the great and terrible things happen on this world. I don't know if any of you remember, 20 years ago, 9/11/01, I believe it was, when the Twin Towers of New York City were hit by the airplanes. I remember very well the churches, all these dead churches, were suddenly filled with people. I kind of have to laugh here about the dead churches. What was the word the Lord gave you one time, Rita, about our own dead church? Yeah, can you repeat it? Share it with us here a minute. Our dead church is going to be filled with people too.
Well, when brethren gather together, they usually begin to start talking about the things of the Lord. And somehow it always gets off where we're talking about all those churches out there, how off they are and how wrong they are, and there's no life in it and blah, blah, blah. Well, I decided, okay, this is a good time to get up to go to the bathroom, and I didn't really want to have any part of it. And I'm in the bathroom, and the Spirit of the Lord speaks to me. He says, if we would stop criticizing all the other dead churches out there, he would begin to move again in our own dead church. And he called our church dead. So, yes, he said, if we would stop criticizing all the other dead churches out there, he would begin to move again in our own dead church. That's what I heard.
Amen. Well, after 9/11, we call it 9/11, the churches, dead churches, live churches, whatever they were suddenly filled with people. And you know what? It didn't last very long. I think it lasted about a month, maybe a month and a half, maybe 2 months. And that was it. The people went back to their own walk, their own way. They carry on their activity just the way they always had. I remember another thing in Schenectady. All of a sudden, there were American flags stuck on the back of just about every other car. You remember that, Larry? Flags going down the road, fluttering away. Everybody loved America. Everybody loved their country, you know. Well, but you see, this was an emotional thing and it didn't last. But I'm telling you, brethren, I believe with all my heart that there are going to be people that are turning to the Lord. You know, let me go back to the days of Noah. What happened when the flood came and the door of the ark was shut? What happened to all those people? Shall we call it Noah's dead church? That he was preaching to? Yeah, Noah, the word of God says Noah was a preacher of righteousness. So I have to believe, as Noah took 120 years to build that ark, I have to believe that as Noah was building that ark, he was preaching and he was telling them, brethren, suddenly and without warning to you, a day of great destruction is coming. Your life is going to be in peril. And they had to laugh. Surely Noah opened the doors of that ark and said, look, anyone is welcome to come. And there was a 7-day period when God said, get on in the ark. And I don't believe Noah just went in that ark and shut the door and just sat there for 7 days. He went in that ark And he began to move. The door was open, I believe, for 7 days. And he began to move the animals in. He began to just, I don't know how he did it. He must have had the power to command them to come in, because I don't know how you can deal with wild lions and tigers and that type of thing without the word of the Lord. So for 7 days, the people saw what was happening. They saw Noah moving into the ark, and they still did not move in. They still did not pack their suitcases and attempt to join him. But when that door went shut, amen, and then that night the rain began, then the people came. And then the people came and they began to cry out to God. And I can just see the picture of these people standing there as the pouring, drenching rain coming down in torrents, found their way over the side of the ark, taking their hands and pounding on the sides of the ark. Noah! Noah, let me in. Oh, God, Noah, I've changed my mind. Oh, God, forgive me. Oh, Lord, I'm so sorry. But you know what? Noah couldn't hear it. I believe if Noah could have heard it, he would have gone and tried to open that door, because Noah loved those people. He hated the deeds that they were doing, but he loved the people. And I believe I have to get to the place too. Me, I'm talking about me, where I love the people that are rotten sinners, that are violating the purposes of God in their life and corrupting everything that God has created. I have to love them, but I have to hate Satan and the ways that have taken over their life. And Jesus said that the word of God says that Jesus went to hell after he was crucified and died. He went to hell and he preached to those who had been disobedient before the flood, those who cried out for deliverance and forgiveness. He went and preached to them and said, okay, you preach for deliverance. Here I am. I will come and save you. He will come and save you. Yes, he came to save those who cried for deliverance. Now, I don't believe they all cried for deliverance, because I believe the heart of many of them was so hard that they did not want deliverance. Amen. So we're talking here multitudes in the valley of decision. Amen. The sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withhold their shining. Now, verse 16, the Lord also shall roar out of Zion. Can't you hear now you see the lion is also the lion of Judah. We have the other side of the lion. The Lord will roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem. And the heavens and the earth shall shake. How many of you know your heavens and your earth are going to be shaken? Your earth, your soul, your spirit, the spiritual nature of your being is going to be shaken, brethren. Why? So that the only thing that remains unshaken, amen, will be the kingdom of God. Amen. Your earth will be shaken, your circumstances. Amen. Maybe the place you live, maybe your job, maybe your finances, everything about your natural being has to someday or another be shaken. Why? So that you will cry out to God. Because the things of our natural life are the way that we have walked in the past. The way is not the way of holiness. It's not the way, the highway of the Lord. We've been walking on another path. Oh, God, when I think of the path that I walked in times past, I would be so ashamed to try to repeat some of the things that we've done in our past. Amen. So these two verses, it says that, and the hope of his people, the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of Israel. So shall ye know that I am the Lord, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. Then shall Jerusalem be holy, and there shall no stranger pass through her anymore. Who is the stranger? Who is the stranger that will not be on this highway anymore? These are aliens. These are foreigners. No, I don't mean natural foreigners. No, I don't mean people from South America or people from Bolivia or Romania. This is not China. No, this is not what it means. It means people strangers to the word of God, strangers to following the ways of God. They will not be in this anymore. Hallelujah. So let's go to Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16. We'll find another example here in Proverbs. And it'll be verse 17. Amen. It says, the highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He that keepeth his way, and again, that word way is your walk, your path, your trodden path, where you walk every day. You just walk, you trample the earth down. There's no grass growing there because you keep walking in this same way. He says, the highway, the broad way of the upright is to depart from evil. He that keepeth his own path preserves his soul. Amen. So we want to preserve our soul, don't we? Go back to Isaiah again now for a little while. Chapter 11, I believe. Chapter 11 in Isaiah. We're going to spend a lot of time in Isaiah here, brethren. This relates to what we've been talking about in Revelation, brethren. Isaiah chapter 11, and come to verse 16. And there shall be a highway for the remnant of his people. What is the remnant, by the way? Who can describe for me a remnant? Well, my best definition of a remnant is if you're a woman. I guess men can do this too. Men are generally not interested in making dresses and stuff like that on a sewing machine, but you can if you want to. A remnant, you go into a fabric store. What's the name of that little fabric store over here? Joann's, yeah. There's one in Amsterdam. They're all around here in different places. Go into this fabric store, and you have a big bolt of cloth. So you pick up these bolts of cloth and you look them over and you find one that only has a little bit left on it. It's only got a yard or so on it. This is the last. It's the last thing that remains. Everything else is gone. There's only a little minority piece. You can buy that remnant pretty cheap. So the remnant is what's left over. God's people are a remnant. We're a small minority of people. We're not a majority. We're a small people. The world has got most of them, but now here's what's left, the remnant. Okay, what does it say about the remnant? And there shall be a highway for the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, like it was to Israel in the day that he came up out of the land of Egypt. So there was a remnant of people of the world that were released from bondage, and it was God's people, a remnant. Okay, staying with Isaiah, chapter 40. Let's move on up to 40. Verses 3-5. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness. Where's the wilderness again? The wilderness is the dry place. The wilderness is a place where there isn't much life. Amen. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness. Now, by the way, this is the cry of John the Baptist. John the Baptist came on the scene when there was just a lot of dead, dry religion going on. People were carrying on the rituals. They didn't have the life of God, just carrying on rituals. Amen. Dry, dead life, you know, keeping ritualistic commandments, not knowing why. It says, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. What was John crying? Prepare ye the way of the Lord. The literal word here is a road. prepare ye the road. So what is Jesus? Is he going to come on a road? No. He's going to come on the highway into your heart. He's going to come on the highway of your soul. Your soul is opening up to him and saying, come on in. I want to open the gate. I want to open the road. I want you to walk on in here, Lord. I just want you to take over. Amen. Prepare you the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Make it a wide way. Make it a thoroughfare. Amen. Now, how am I going to do that? How am I going to do that in my life? It says, every valley shall be exalted. What's that mean? Do you have low places in you? Do you have places where you're distressed and what's the word the psychologists use? Depression. Do you have places where you're just about ready to give up? Discouraged. All those words that start with dis. Do you know what the word dis means? The prefix dis? It means something's wrong with it. Something's bad. Disease. See? It's another one of those dis words. So the low places, the valley, has to be brought up, exalted. Amen. Let's see what exalted means. It means lifted up. Amen. And every mountain and hill shall be made low. What are the mountains and the hills in your soul? Where we think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. Where we have pride, where we have arrogance, where we have no compassion. We feel that we're above that thing. We feel that they're below us. They're more stupid than we. They're more, they don't have the ability that I have. I mean, looking down, you know, somehow Jesus was above a lot of people, but he didn't look down. Amen. The hill shall be made low. The crooked made straight. What are the crooked ways? Come on, brethren, do you have any crooked ways in you? You won't admit it. Because we don't, why? Because we don't see it. That's why our eyes need to be opened up. To see my crooked ways. How do I deal with other people? Are my ways crooked? You know, one of the best ways to find crooked ways is the way people handle finances. The way they deal with other people. Crooked ways. And the rough places made plain. Are there any rough places in your life? See, we're talking about the kingdom of God, brethren. The kingdom of God is not something that you can see with your natural eyes. The kingdom of God is in the midst of you. That means in you, in your soul, in your heart is the kingdom of God. That's where it's to be found. Make straight, amen, hallelujah, the crooked, the rough. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Turn over to Isaiah 62. We'll spend a little time in Isaiah here. Isaiah 62, verse 10. I tell you, it's hard to just pick out verses in Isaiah, because the whole chapter is just loaded with such good material. 62, start in verse 10. Go through the gates. Prepare ye the way of the people. Cast up. Amen. What does cast up mean? It means build up. Amen. Cast up, build up the highways. Gather out the stones. Lift up a standard for the people. Lift up a flag. Lift up a banner. Something that people can see and identify. In other words, your life is going to be a banner that people are going to see. You're going to be that flag. Amen. Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world, say unto the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Now, that was implied also in that song that we sang. Behold, your salvation is coming. Say ye to Zion. Say it to one another, brethren. Say it to those who believe as you believe also. Behold, your salvation is coming. Behold, his reward. There's his recompense again. Amen. Is with him and his work with him. His recompense. Amen. Now, let's go to Jeremiah. Jeremiah 31. I'm sorry to be hurrying along, but if we don't, we'll never get there. Jeremiah 31. Verse 21. Jeremiah 31, 21. Set ye up waymarks. Make thee high heaps. Set thine heart toward the highway, even the way which thou wentest. Turn again, O virgin Israel. Turn again to these thy cities. Now, you've got to understand spiritual language in this, brethren. If you're going to understand what Jeremiah is saying, you say, oh, brother, this is a mystery. I don't know what this means. Set up waymarks. All right, in the natural, waymarks are signs on the road. Signs on the road. How would you like to be driving down the highway in a strange country, in a strange city, where there are all kinds of twists and turns? I tell you, I've done it. I remember driving in Czech Republic through some of those little villages. We have no idea what turn we're going to take. We didn't have GPS or anything, but we had some of the brethren from the Czech with us. And there are the little signs, but the signs were not in the language that we could understand. But the brethren knew. They saw the signpost. They knew which way to turn. And even when I'm driving in my own country, I need those signs. If I miss those signs, I go 2 or 3 miles past the road I'm supposed to turn. And then I say, oh, I think we went the wrong way. Well, God is saying in your life, you need to set up signposts so that other people can find them. Now, not a lot of people like signposts. There's people that don't like that at all. They say, oh, you're just making rules. You're making laws. What's the matter with you? You're all black or white. There's no shades of gray with you. It's either your way or the highway. Well, what else am I to say? Set up signs. In fact, when he says set up heaps, you see, they didn't have the kind of signs in the day of Jeremiah that had writing on them, you know, a big white sign with black letters. But there were signs along the way that people knew. Set up a heap. In other words, set up a pile of stones. And you would give directions. I remember giving directions years ago, before all the signs. Somebody would ask, well, how do I get to this place? Maybe this is what we do in New York. I know out in the Midwest, it's quite easy. They just tell you go 3 miles west and then 1 mile north and then another mile west or something. But we're not laid out in a straight north, south, east, west grid here because we've got so many hills and mountains and streams and valleys and all that. So you say, well, go down this road about 2 miles until you come to the big oak tree. Take it right there. You'll go that way and you'll come to a big red barn. When you find that big red barn, you turn left and it'll be the house that has horses in the yard. Yeah, something like that. Those are waymarks. Those are signs. So we need to understand that God has put standards up also for us to follow, and we need to install those for other people. Jeremiah. Now go back to Revelation, and we're just going to take one little turn in a different direction here. All right, we've talked about the way of holiness. But Revelation talks about the street. And let me finish up back there, the street. Let's come to this thing again with spiritual understanding. Revelation 21, verse 21. Okay. And we are right here. Now, we're giving a description of heaven. Brethren, what is your definition? What is your description of heaven? When I say heaven, what comes to your mind? What has come to your mind since you were a child and you heard the word heaven? What did you think of? You can unmute for a minute if you want. Just tell me what you think when you were a child, when you were young, when you were a young adult. You heard of heaven. What were you thinking of? Yeah, Rita says a place up in the sky. Okay. What did that place look like? What did your heaven look like? Was old Peter standing there at the gate with a clipboard in his hand, wanting to know if your name was on the list? Was that your heaven? Big old gate behind Peter, you know? Yeah, was there a... Did you ever talk to other people? Do you ever hear other people talk about the streets of gold? Streets, plural. Streets of gold. Did you actually believe that you were going to walk on natural gold, the kind of gold your jewelry might be made out of? Did you ever believe that you would actually walk on? Yes, I did. Come on. These were the things that I thought in my mind. There'd be towering buildings, you know, that'd be shiny. And you know, were you there with us there that time, Larry? We went to that church where this woman came she died and went to heaven. It was over at the Seat of Abraham. Remember, did you go with us that time? Maybe you didn't go. Well, I wanted to hear, this is why I went to hear Kenneth Hagin, because I heard that he had died when he was a teenager. And he went to hell, and the voice of God called him up out of it. I believe it really happened to him, but it was a spiritual experience, see? So we went to hear this person that had a description of heaven. And I was so disappointed because they didn't describe the heaven that I believe is the real heaven. They talked about their mansion, their own personal mansion that was going to have their special wooden furniture in it, you know, special design on the walls and wallpaper and what have you. Street of gold, streets of gold, by the way. So it says here, and verse 21, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. By the way, how are pearls made? Pearls are made in oysters that have a grain of sand in the oyster, and the sand irritates that oyster to such an extent that it builds up a pearl of great beauty, a pearl of great price. So in other words, these gates, these entrances into the city are made by the hardship that people go through in their life. Maybe there's 12 different kinds of trials and hardships that we have to go through. In other words, there's the full measure of trial and hardship that is going to bring us in. Well, let's go on. Several gate was one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. Now, by the way, here's the point I want to make. It says there is the street. It does not say plural, streets. Streets would imply what? That there's a choice. There's a variety of ways that you can walk. No, there is only one street in the kingdom of heaven. There is only one street. There is only one way. And that's the way of holiness. You can't have any shade of gray in this. You can't have your choice. You can't have side streets. You can't have parallel streets. You can't have dark alleys that are, they're also made of gold. No, 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 no streets of gold, just the street of gold. Okay. So let me go to verse 22 or chapter 22, verse 2. Also another witness. It says in the midst of the street of it and on either side of the river. What is this? In the midst of the street. Down the middle of the street, it would seem, and on either side of the river was there the tree of life. Now, come on, brethren, you can't do this in a natural description. This has to be spiritual description. The tree of life is what? Jesus, amen. Where was the tree of life first found? It was in the Garden of Eden. And man was given a choice, and he made the wrong choice. They chose, amen, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And they had to be put out. They had to be deprived of the tree of life, lest they take of the tree of life and go on and live forever in evil, which is what it was. The tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, fullness of the measure of the fruit of the Spirit, amen, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. The life of the tree, the life that came forth from the tree, were for the healing of the nations, amen. Now, I want to just finish up with another verse. We're almost finished, that is. Proverbs, go back to Proverbs, verse 7. And we're talking about the other side of the wrong way of the way, the wrong highway. Proverbs is warning in chapter 7. We're talking about the way. Hallelujah. All right, in chapter 7, in verse 8. And let's start in verse 7. It says, behold, among the simple ones, foolish ones, immature ones, I discerned among the youths. This is a young man void of understanding. He's on the wrong path. Amen. Passing through the street. See, he's on his street. Near her corner. And he went the way to her house. He went the wrong path. He went after this woman. Amen. Let me read down. In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. See, he's not walking in the light. He's walking in darkness. Amen. Spiritual darkness. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot, of subtle heart. She had a crafty heart. That's what subtle is. She is loud and stubborn, and her feet abide not in her house. She's a wanderer. She's not, there's no stability in her life. She's not satisfied with a home. She's not satisfied with a place of security. She's not satisfied to dwell in the place of Christ, where he would be her husband. She's not satisfied with that. Now is she without, outside. Now in the streets. See, there's that path again. And lieth in wait at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him. And with an impudent face, she said to him, an impudent face, a lurking, defiant, shameless face, I have peace offerings with me. Well, let's move on from that, okay? Now go over down to verse 25. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Decline means going down. Don't go down. Don't go back down that way. Amen? Hallelujah. Let me see. Yeah, turn aside. Let not thine heart turn aside to her ways. This is her path again. Her way of life, her custom. Amen. Her course of life, the decisions, the kind of action that she follows. You know, there's people who have certain customs that are not of God. Did you know that? Let not thine heart decline to her ways, go not astray in her paths. For she hath cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. I told a man one day that was trying to defend his way of, shall we say, the alternate lifestyle. I said, son, well, I don't know what I called him. I said, man, you're on the way to hell. You're on the highway to hell. But he insisted on defending his way, even saying that God was pleased with the way he was walking. I said, no, you're on the highway to hell. Who was that guy some years ago, back in the 70s? A rock singer, Ozzy Osbourne, I think it was. Do you remember that song? I don't know, I only heard it once. I'm on the highway to hell. Do you remember that? That song became, Jeremy, you must remember that song. Didn't you hear that? Yeah, I'm on the highway to hell. And you know, people were singing that. He got a lot of followers to be singing that song. And they were singing it like thumbing it in the face of God. I'm on the highway to hell, you know. And you know, they make light of it. I've heard people say, well, I'm going to hell, but I'm going to have a lot of company. Brother, you don't know. You don't know what you're saying. If you would even, I heard, well, who was it? Dave Wilkerson once, I think it was, heard a statement, maybe it wasn't Dave, it was somebody else, but he said, you know, no, it was another evangelist. He said, if you even have so much as an encounter with somebody that you knew on earth in hell, they will curse you to your face. There won't be no camaraderie. There will be no company. There will be no nice visits and chatting about old times back on earth. No. The highway to hell is a highway to destruction. Let me leave with you one more passage. I know we've gone a little over with the songs, but let me leave you with one more passage. You've got to understand this. The first Psalm, and I'll quit with this. Psalm chapter 1. This is a precious word here in Psalm 1. And I'm not going to read the whole song. Blessed is the man that walketh. See, we're talking about our walk in life. Walketh, not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way. There's that word way again. It's another path. We don't stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. Amen? But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Can you possibly meditate day and night in the ways of the Lord? I think we can. Okay, yes, we have other things that we do, but it's always there, just there under the surface, right there. Every decision, every option, everything that comes our way is always filtered through the way of the Lord. Amen. Now, let me go on. I think there's only six verses. Let me read the whole thing. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. See, there's your tree planted by the river again. What is the river all about, by the way? What is the river of life coming down the street of gold?
How can you have a river in the middle of the street? You can't in the natural. I mean, if the water's flowing down your natural highway, you can't drive down through there. But in the spiritual realm, the street of gold is the nature of God. We are going to constantly walk in the nature of God, on the nature of God. Amen? And the river of life producing the tree of life is always going to be right there. Amen? On both sides. So we will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth his fruit in his season. How often is his season? It's every month. Fullness. Divine authority, divine leadership, rulership. His leaf. See, we're talking about that same leaf again. The leaf is for what? The healing of the nations. You're going to be giving life to other people, healing. The leaf also shall not wither. It's not going to, in times of distress, in times of plague, in times of peril, you're not going to wither. And whatever he does shall prosper. Oh, I like that part. You know, you can do things that don't prosper. Did you know that? Why? Because they're not ordained of God. How many of you tried things that didn't prosper? Oh, come on. I can see that on your face, Larry. We've all had ventures that we thought were going to be great, but it didn't work out. Why? Because it wasn't of God. And this is what I've always said. And who was the Israelites? They got into trouble with that one tribe that they were supposed to take over because they took them in. It says, and they asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. I tell you what, brethren, when we went out looking for a house, every place we said, before we got in the car and went out looking, we said, Lord, we're going to ask counsel at the mouth of the Lord. I don't want to get into something that is going to be a burden, that is going to be a thing that is going to drag us down, that is going to be a grief and sorrow to our heart. I don't want that. Amen. So if we walk in righteousness, if we walk in the counsel of the Lord, not in the ungodly, everything we do will prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. The chaff is gone. Do you believe that? Do you believe the ungodly are going to be chaff driven away? All these unrighteous, powerful men of our day, names that you hear in the news, every day, every week, these names are coming up. These powerful, rich, filthy rich, powerful people, sports stars, Hollywood stars, governors, captains, all these kind of things, just like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way. Here's that highway again. Here's that road. The Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way, same thing, the way of the ungodly shall perish. It will. That's the end of what I have to share, brethren. The highway of righteousness. So I'm still on. Please add whatever. We're still on the recording here. Turn that one off. Okay, I'm going to turn this one off.